The idea was to actually put together something which is an association of new media related businesses, because you couldn't just say new media businesses because it involved PR and various other things. And at that point, the whole idea was, it was a bit of an Alcoholics Anonymous, where it's like, well, actually, we're not really competing with each other, because in the grand scheme of things, we're microcosmic, we're tiny, right? That actually we could potentially together learn from each other's mistakes and hopefully not make the same thing. Fast forward a decade. And back in that day, we used to call this place Silicon Ditch. I don't know if you know the term. It used to be Silicon Ditch, because you had Silicon Alley in New York, Silicon Valley, and Silicon Ditch. It made perfect sense. So when they rebranded this whole, mile square to Tech City, it was the most cynical, awful little bit of PR I've ever seen. So it's like, okay, we're near the city, so we're now Tech City. And one of the things, I'm so glad, I love the fact that the area's like moved on, shed loads. One of the problems, and hopefully we'll come back to this, is that some of the things about startup culture which are less than ideal from America have come over here. And a lot of good things as well. But if you hand up who's hung out in Tech Hub, you kind of end up with a bunch of entitled little kids. Without actually being given proper guidance, what they're given is these massive tools, right, and the opportunity to actually do all this stuff, and lots of money, or little amounts of money, and not necessarily clear in terms of where they're going. And one of the things doing the current job, which is partner in Atmosphere, is actually look at things like lean business strategy and actually how that all works. But frankly, it's got a little bit weird. You've got people actually have got really bad ideas, which actually, if you scrape away, just a little, you recognise that they're really bad ideas. But because the culture is now actually fast-fail forward as a concept is a wonderful concept, but it still requires some thought about where you go next. It's not just, next bad idea, which is the way it works in the States. And one of the things, again, which we'll come to later, is one of the things about Brits, folk in the UK, is that we've never had very much to do things with. Part of our creativity, our innovation, actually comes from being a bit skin. We took things that came from elsewhere, and we did better stuff with it than anybody else could because we had the nous to do it. I'm just a little bit angsty about it. I'm so proud of all the really big startups that came from here. I mean, people like Doodle, even Last.fm, actually going way back. It's fantastic. But it's not nearly as cooperative as you'd think. It's actually quite standoffish, once you get into startup land. So anyway, it's a bit of a ramble. But I think it could do with a little bit better coaching and a little bit more thought.
Okay, so that's a kind of inside out.
Does anybody agree with me there? I know I'm starting off with something quite controversial in the midst of, it's now.
Can I just, when were you here? Stay with you a bit?
So 2000 to now.
I mean, now.
So I've been,
so been here. It's actually quite recent in history of Hawks. I mean,
We went into Hawks just as all the digital folk were moving in. So prior to that, it was all lofts and.
Clickstreet, it's worth saying there's a little pre-history, there's a sort of primordial story to be told about Clickstreet.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, we my first agency was called The Obsolete, which, funnily enough. And we were on Clickstreet, which is, we started one of the first cyber cafes after Ava Pascoe's Siberia, called Backspace. And that was because we had all these mad filmmakers and artists and musicians turning up in 1995.
Clink Street's in Southern, isn't it?
Yeah, so Clink Street, it's fairly near London Bridge. It's where Vinopolis is.
Yeah.
It wasn't there.
It's now a Starbucks.
Yeah. And Backspace is now a Starbucks.
Says a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a bit grim, actually. But on that street, we had, in our building alone, there was us, there was Audiorom, a bunch of record companies. You had Hextatic, who was part of Cold Cut and Ninja Tune. Next door, we had the Media Surface guys, and Media Surface was one of those things you used before everybody used like WordPress, I suppose, then. And Medium Rare. We had a nice little enclave. Right? We actually ran the first wireless network in, pretty much first wireless network in London, between the two buildings opposite each other. It cost us $2,000 to actually get to beam 100 yards across so that we could actually unwire up the street. So yes, you're absolutely right, Tom. I mean, there was a so quite used to enclaves. I mean, that was a proper tech hub, I guess. And then it moved up here.
So it moved up here. It's become a policy darling. The whole creative industries thing has been a bit of a policy darling for about the last 15 years. As I said at the intro, Paul and his consultancy, Bob, have been in the business of trying to sell that model overseas. So what is it that overseas buyers think that they're getting when they come to the UK to try and to work out how to do business in this space?
I mean, I think the way I try and express it is that I'm not sure that the UK has a model, but we're certainly exporting it. I think that the model probably has its roots in the thing that Graham wrote on his blog about. Sorry to be a bit sort of incestuous about this, but you should go to the Directional Thinking blog about this, which the model probably goes back to the sort of kind of social institutions we've created in this country over the last, 100 years. You know, whether that's art schools or the BBC or suburban things. And I think it's probably also to do with our kind of tradition of parliamentary democracy and tolerance and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of profound and deep and difficult to kind of turn into a kind of consultancy PowerPoint. So we're exporting it. But I'll tell you what my experience is, which is that we're doing more and more work overseas. And we're being asked to go and do things because people kind of are interested and respect what's happening in the UK. And I think, at a superficial level, they're interested in the idea that we invented this. We didn't, but John Newbegin's here. We kind of constructed this policy discourse around creative industries, and we had a mapping document, and we kind of got it going on that level. Very important. Everyone else has been doing it ever since. I think you guys nicked it from the Aussies, didn't you?
Yeah.
You mentioned the Australians. All the best things are stolen and imitation in that way.
No, that's the definition of culture.
Yeah.
So we learn from what's happened before.
Yeah, we actually had a guy in our office for 6 months from New Zealand who was studying how the creative industry idea had travelled across different policy areas. But you can read his reports if you send me an email. But the point I want to make is that the real reason why people are interested in the UK and its so-called model is actually because of our content. It's actually because of our product. It's because they admire, respect, and love the stuff that we make across the world. Everywhere I go, that's really what they're interested in. They're interested in the fact that we can produce that kind of telly, we can produce that kind of design, we can produce those really interesting ideas. And I was reading Hassan Bakshi, who's a kind of one-man policy-making machine at Nesta, who kind of does the job of the DCMS for them, and all in one go. He wrote this really interesting piece with a guy called Philip Schneider called "Crossing the River by Feeling for Stones," which is a piece about what creative firms in the UK should be doing to approach the China market. And he did it by looking at the example of an incredibly interesting social network in China called Douban, which is a kind of a play. Let me get this right. Whenever people talk about China, they throw out ridiculous numbers. It's got 100 million subscribers. So it's got people who are engaged in a heated, interesting intellectual debate about cultural product, cultural experiences. And on Douban, there are something like 1,750 films from the UK being talked about by people in China. That's extraordinary. I mean,
unfortunately, none of them are paying to watch any of them.
Probably, 20 of those have been actually officially, legally released in the country. There are 900 documentaries. And these are really profound, interesting conversations going on. The reason why he did this piece with Philip Schneider, I recommend it. You can get it off the Nesta website. because Philip Schneider is a very clever guy. He speaks Chinese. You know, he knows Mandarin, so he can read Duban and see what they're talking about. Yeah, and you know, I think that's really what drives it in the end. And we mustn't lose sight of, which is that model or no model, it's what comes out of it. It's what we create. It's what it's the kind of art we make, the content we create. And that comes from a very specific cultural place. There's another dimension to that which we can come on to, which is that, of course, increasingly, the reason why we make interesting stuff isn't just because we're British or we have something that's British and, you know, and kind of distinctive. It's because we're so open and international. And in a place like London, for example, a lot of the stuff we're making now is because we are basically in a dialogue with the rest of the world in all kinds of interesting ways.
Yeah, but... obviously, our output is very strong. You know, our output is very strong. You know, we've got a lot of good stuff, and I would argue that London is actually not Britain. You know, within the creative industries, given that it's a melting pot, and we've got lots of people from all over the world.
I'm not making an argument about how strong our output is. I'm just saying that that's what people really, really respond to in the rest of the world.
Yeah,
there are all kinds of structural problems. Yeah. I think with.
But we've been doing it, as I said earlier. We've been doing it a lot longer. You know, in terms of like, certainly in terms of content creation, you know, in terms of like telly and film and stuff, you know, that you could argue we've got that, and actually we did actually manage to nail quite a few, you know, things. But the only reason I question it is actually the danger of actually saying, well, by that thinking, then Hollywood actually owns the hearts and minds of the planet, because actually of that 150 films, I mean, on the same site, how many of those films are actually Hollywood films? Or how many are American? Or,
and how many video games are occupying space on that same block?
I think we play kind of second fiddle to now those industries, that are really not controlled in the UK at all. So in terms of actually exporting our creativity, actually one of the things that talk about is what is this creative industries thing that we're talking about. You know, we're talking about games. Some of the best games, actually, they're bigger selling games come out of Britain than actually Hollywood, than films ever, right? But actually, games tend to be ignored. And it's only really in the last 5 years, that games are even recognised as being part of the creative industries at all. In terms of films, you know, the budgets are so low. Harry Potter was massive, yeah. But that was because she insisted on it being made here. I'm just saying, in terms of finding a point of differentiation,
yeah.
Is it...
That's a different question, though, because there's a really big question in the UK about the fact, you know, we make good stuff.
Yeah.
We've got really skilled people, we've got really interesting people who make the stuff, but we don't necessarily own it. And the revenues that are accrued as a result of it...
Go elsewhere, yeah.
That's a different question.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is that the reason why people are interested in the UK model, because actually most people in the world aren't interested in it, they're not interested in models. Yeah. And they don't think of the world like that. The reason they're interested in the UK is because of the messages we send out with our cultural product.
We're aspiration.
It's aspirational. Inspiring. Yeah. I mean, the aspirational thing is obviously important, but there's a real danger. As Paul's identified, and as Graham and I have both talked about in blogs recently, a lot of the aspiration comes from free stuff, from stuff that's socially funded, actually. And nothing about the top-line narrative of Tech City takes any notice of that stuff at all. Some of it's about London, but as John said, a lot of the business models are imported from the US. And very little of it pays any attention to what goes on in the rest of the British Isles.
So I should say I am an American. Right. So I'm allowed. I'm an American.
You know, on the one hand, we've got international recognition and respect for a set of cultural products that are born out of something that sounds quite sort of socialist in hue, strangely enough, which is socially funded public goods, diversity of inputs, not only from across the UK, but recognising that London is still a big attractor for people across the world.
Yeah.
It's a multicultural point of view. So are we trying to put too many angels on the head of a pin here? I mean, is there actually a formula that we should be looking to replicate, or should we just be looking to learn from the past and avoid the most crude mistakes that have been made when the sector gets over-dependent on particular source of investment, as it did arguably in 1999 and 2000.
Yeah. I mean, when I was just thinking about the business model side of things, because actually, creative industries, right? But I could only come up with four or five things, I think, I was saying. It was patronage, you know, in the classic sense, arts council type things. You have work for hire, which is where most of us end up, you know, where we're designing things, we're making things, and we're paid as a result. Direct sale, or where's our equivalent of, and actually artists fall into direct sale. They're either in patronage or they're selling their stuff. And overlying it, and I actually think this is where I actually do agree with you. We're really into brand creation and exploitation. Right? If you actually look at all of it, you know, you put all of it under it, that the inspiration, the aspiration, all of the thing, we actually start from a position where we can actually create brands, you know, around the artists, around the agencies, around the filmmakers, around the, we're actually very strong at that. That's one thing that, you know, that we are very good at getting known. And the question is, how do we, within that, what are the things that are required to do it? So, you know, if you look at British Council, it's about actually encouraging direct sales, you know, quite often as well. Well, they actually try to do lots of things. But is it...
Yeah, but the British Council is also very much about soft power. It's all about trying to export British values.
Yeah, they're spies, right?
Yeah. I'm in favour of it. I think British values are worth exporting.
Yeah. What are they again? So I'm an American, I don't know. I've only lived here for 30 years, I've never quite worried that one out.
Apart from one particular Prime Minister, we don't tend to export wars, you know.
Really?
No, I don't agree with that one at all, but that's another seminar.
I think, you know, if we've got more open channels for actually... let's take something, you know, on the... Which is a smaller side of the creative industry. It's actually just product development. I mean, over in Shoreditch, you've got loads of folk actually making furniture. Right? Some of the best furniture on the planet, right? Most out there, very cool stuff. It's very hard. They have self-mobilized. They've got a whole bunch of, you know, they've built their own cluster up internationally, and they've actually gone out and done it. They've done it without any help from anybody else, apart from brand sponsors. And they've just gone and actually purveyed British design, you know, furniture design. And, you know, that doesn't actually fit into lots of the boxes. If you're making a film, you know, there's lots of ways to do it. If you're a photographer, sorry, you're a bit screwed, because there's nobody helping photographers.
Just a quick anecdote.
Anecdote's good. People remember.
And then we can get
they take them away.
I remember going to this Euro seminar type thing in Amsterdam, which is all about a similar topic to this, which was how can Europe get more of the pie in sort of where creativity and technology meet each other. And basically what happened was in the first half of the conversation, it was all about we've got to somehow try and find a European version of Silicon Valley. Yeah? And then there was this guy in the
Brussels
who was actually a politician. He was a local councillor from one of the sort of districts in Amsterdam. And he said to people in the audience, has anybody here actually been to Silicon Valley? Yeah, has anybody been there? I mean, has anyone been to that place, that kind of nightmarish, dystopian universe?
They're called New Towns, right?
Yeah, and he basically said, get real. Right? There is not a single politician in Europe who would allow that to happen.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
It's so against the kind of European culture and the European tradition of kind of, you know, social engagement and the idea that, you know, people need to talk to each other, kind of like walk
on the
street.
Or you need to have some infrastructure to get from one place to the other.
Complete kind of bollocksy nonsense to talk about to talk about Silicon Valley in this simplistic way all the time. Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's really interesting about all these alleys and valleys and ditches and all that kind of stuff, and what's happening here is that. Does anyone here know who Doug Richard is?
unfortunately. Yeah. Dragon's Den.
He's quite interesting on this topic, which is, he's been to all these places, and he's put money in things all these places, and he says the reason why London in the end is going to be, he's very optimistic, the reason why this is going to actually be the place in the next 20 years is because it's got, I mean, I think you're right, I think it has become a place for kind of people with blazers and all that kind of stuff rather than real
beards.
People and beards, yeah. It's that you've got the kind of extraordinary collision here of people from all over the world who are the cleverest people coding and teching and all that kind of stuff, but also you've got some fucking culture. You've got like street culture, you've got real culture, you've got sort of like culture in all different shapes and forms in, you know, one of the great world cities. So this has the potential to do something different from...
Except from Silicon Valley, which is the most sanitized, horrible place on the planet. Sorry, if you haven't seen it, it really is.
I'm with you, I think tech cities is an absurd kind of bureaucratic invention. I think this place and what's going on in East London continues to evolve in all kinds of interesting ways, which can only happen in our country and in a city like this.
I totally agree. I'll compliment that with a random story. Our biggest client in Lateral was Levi's. We worked with them for 12 years internationally, in both US and Europe and Far East. And we worked for a sort of head office. And there was one campaign. What we had to do was actually go and look at what the markets were doing and make sure they actually fit in with the sort of central sort of style. And one Valentine's Day, and it's probably about 8 or 9 years ago, the polls said, you know, for our Valentine's Day promotion, we want to basically, if you buy a pair of jeans, we'll send your girlfriend a red rose. That was their grand big sales promotion notion. And I turned around and said, you know, that would never work. That's just so naughty. Possibly, you know, why the hell? I mean, that just breaks the brain. That's the antithesis of romance, right? It's actually you bought a pair of jeans and you got a rose from Levi's, and we couldn't veto it. They went ahead and did it, and it was the biggest, most successful promotion that Levi's Poland ever did. Right? They had thousands, thousands, and thousands and thousands of entries, and. The moral, and actually that was it. I just shut the hell up, you know, when people asserted certain things, and it was actually that was a creative notion. It's not something we'd have come up here because we'd have thought that's too silly, too parochial, too nonsense. But it was actually spot on for them, right? And actually saying that creativity is actually limited to a geography, it actually completely ignores where the current sort of culture is at. At the time, and that's why it's an issue with you know Europe doesn't know what to do with this, and I think it's incredibly arrogant often to say in a globalized world that actually something, you know, this is right and this is what we're doing. So in terms of our exports, does that make sense? I mean, it was just scary.
And in terms of whilst we're grinding axes, let's I'm going to grind two axes. One of the things that Paul mentioned a lot, there was a word that kept coming up in what Paul last said. In the if you could hear it underneath the strains of Royal Britannia, as he was saying it, there was an awful lot of mention of the word people. And John made reference at the start to, you know, the fact that a lot of the startups around Tech City are one kind of people, and not necessarily the kind of people that these streets produce. Automatically, or streets across the UK produce, and I have to say, you know, since this is a do to mark the fifth sector coming back to London, one of the reasons that Sarah and I and the company have been brought back to London is that it's an exciting and vibrant place to be. But the other reason is that in the recession, all the work outside of London immediately dried up much, much faster than it did here. There is a horribly centripetal force in the UK economy. And there are horribly centripetal assumptions about UK culture that all revolves around London and particular kinds of lifestyle. And I think that the point that the anecdote that John just related was, not everybody thinks about things in the same way that the metropolis thinks about. So whilst the metropolis is a useful place to gather those things together, it won't necessarily create all those thoughts for
you. Or TechCrunch or Mashable.
Yeah. Okay.
We were the tyranny. Yeah.
Yeah. So the there are good brands and bad brands is what you're sort of alluding to there. We've got about another hour left this evening, and we've managed to come to a point in our discussion where we agree there are good brands and bad brands. There are good and bad things about UK creativity. There are good and bad things about UK culture. So we've astoundingly managed to go around in a circle for 25 minutes. If it's okay with you, I'm going to invite each of the panellists to say one final thing for 30 or 60 seconds. I've been recording what we've been saying. I'd really like to record your responses too. I will record it, and if anybody's got any objections to anything they state being retransmitted anywhere on the web, please come and tell me. But after they've had their little roundabout, we'll just have a quick nip to the bath for a refresh, and then we come back in and take it seriously for half an hour.
Are you actually suggesting we have a break?
I'm going to say...
Is that safe?
60 seconds. 60 seconds. A break. If they choose to go home, that's more wine for three of us. But I think they'll come back. I have that hubris.
Can I pose a question to the floor?
Yeah, that's your 60 seconds.
Because when I was looking at what this was about today, and I was thinking, so, and it goes back to what Paul was saying earlier, even though I don't agree that Britishness is actually something worth exporting in itself.
That's what I said.
Not exactly. Yeah. But
this always happens on panels, by the way. I've been doing a lot of panels in the last 2 years. Is that people tell you what you've said? You say that. So I was on a panel with David Lammy and Giles Croft talking about culture and world cities at the London conference about 2 months ago, and Giles Croft told me that I told the audience that opera was the way of solving the inequality problem in London.
Nice.
So, of course, I'm quite an intelligent person. I don't think that, actually.
Okay.
But, no. it was actually the question, because he actually started out, it was about what can we export, and what are the things that, given what we've got in London, right,
and the
rest of the UK, and actually, I still think you've got to make London and differentiation between the UK and elsewhere. And you started talking about it, and I think that is worthwhile because there's shitloads. And you said yourself, tons of the work that you're getting. I mean, we're working with bloody Egyptians right now, there is so much opportunity there. It's just what is the opportunity and where are the channels? And I think that's definitely open for discussion. I didn't want to interrupt anybody getting drinks, but
okay.
Just a thought.
Paul, last thought?
I just want to share with you the fact that I'm actually really confused. So even though I run the business that says it knows about the creative industries, and I'm working in about five different countries talking about creative industries, I feel as though in the UK we're at a sort of turning point. I feel as though we've got to a certain point, we're in a point in the cycle. And a lot of it's kind of very long term in terms of what's happened after the Second World War and where we've got to. A lot of it's kind of short term in terms of what happened with the new Labour administration and the sheer amount of attention and money they pumped into this kind of activity, which isn't being pumped in there now. I'm not really kind of sure what's going to happen next at all, but I'd be very interested to hear what people think about that.
Yeah. And on that note, come back in 90 seconds. Thank you.
Fine.